Happy Canada Day, everybody, to our Canadian listeners, to our American listeners. Happy 4th of July on Tuesday. This is episode 27 of the Depressed Breakfast Club. And today we will be talking about husband and wife relationships, whether they be good, they be bad, and everything in between. As always, we're not medical professionals. The things we say here are our opinions, nothing but our opinions. If you want to listen to our advice, hey, that's great. But seek medical professional. Seek professional. Oh my goodness. Seek
advice.
Medical advice. Holy cow. Seek medical advice. Don't go off your meds. If you want to start meds, go see your doctor. All that good stuff. And if you're having a really, really rough time, Joyelle has some phone numbers to help you through. Joyelle.
Yep. So if you're feeling suicidal or you just need somebody to talk to, you can call the suicide hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text 45645. And in the U.S., you can call 988 or text TALK to 741-741. So if you are feeling suicidal or you definitely need somebody to talk to, please feel free to reach out to these hotlines. And on to Taylor.
Good morning, everybody. As always, just a general reminder that our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can also find us on Facebook under the same name, and that's where we like to post our weekly episodes, as well as share little tidbits on there, whether it's memes, advice, other pages that kind of help out. So give us a like and follow if you don't mind, and like us. For today's quote, it's, your mental health is everything. Prioritize it. Make the time like your life depends on it, because it does. And I think it actually has a good way of applying for today's topic, which is also episode 26, because I know Dana seems to think that we're on episode 27 every time we do this.
I like the number 27.
You're like, it's the best number ever. All of them are going to be 27 from now on. And today's topic is actually about husbands and wives. And just basically like marriages in general, any sort of partnership. So I had written this down ages ago and kind of have points in it about dividing things up. Should it be split 50-50? Should there be a shared account? If one is suffering, should the other help pick up the slack, kind of thing? So I've had friends in the past, and it drives me insane. Because to me, if you're in a relationship with someone, whether it's marriage, common law, partnership of any sort, I've never expected it to be a 50-50 split of everything. Like, some days I'll have a great day and I'll be like, you know what? I can handle 80% of everything going on. You take a rest. Your mental health might need it, because you know what? You might be getting stressed the hell out at work. So I'm not going to expect you to be able to put forth as much energy or effort, because you might be flailing out in the deep end and I want to do something to help my partner out. And the biggest issue that I've had with watching, for me, I think it's a straight person phenomenon, because I haven't seen it with lesbian couples. So my friends and I all kind of watch and we're like, is this a straight person thing? But I've seen multiple pairings where the husband substantially out-earns the wife, for example, by like a ratio of 2-1, if not even 3-1. And they split everything 50-50 down the middle, even though in her case, she cannot afford it. Like, she brings in whatever, we'll say she brings in $13, he brings in 33 an hour, I should add. And they'll split everything 50-50, even though it's like, but he out-earns you substantially. And he will go out and continue to buy his little toys and everything while she has to suffer and try and figure out things to sell to get their grocery money, to get their water bill money, to get the to make mortgage. And it frustrates me to no end because that's not how a relationship should be in my eyes. And I watch it just break them down mentally because all they're constantly thinking about is, okay, I have to have whatever, another $50 for groceries this week. So in the States, they'll go and sell their blood. They'll sell their plasma. They'll sell their things, anything like that. They'll go without instead of having their counterpart pick up the slack. In some cases, I've watched as like the wife has given up their mental health medication because they didn't have money to pay for it. So they literally gave up their meds because they couldn't afford to pay for it because the husband wouldn't pop in the money. And you're just like, oh no, that's on you. That's a you expense.
So that sounds a lot like a form of abuse.
That's how I see it. But I'm curious. Obviously, I'm curious. I'm like going into the habitation of the straight people. I'm like, okay, is this normal for you guys? What do you think of it? Because to me, I have never experienced that with any of my partners. I've never done it to them. They've never done it to me. It's never even crossed my mind. And yet I have seen it with so many man-woman relationships. So please enter the straight people to discuss.
Well, my husband does make a substantial amount of money more than I do. He's highly educated. He works in IT field, so and he works in the US. So he has a very high-paying job, can be stressful at times, can be rewarding at times. He gets like his kudos, his pats on his back when he discovers something that nobody else had found. Blah blah blah. I won't get into the details.
All I'm thinking of is you listening.
Yeah. Anywho. When I was working, because I do not work right now. Well, I sell Pampered Chef, but believe me, the commissions that I get on a monthly basis don't buy me anything other than lunch on occasion. When I was working, like when I went back to work after, so he allowed me to stay home with our two kids. Let me rephrase that. He didn't allow me. He gave me the choice of staying home with our kids till they got to an age where they were somewhat independent for getting themselves off to school type thing. I went back to work at VP, where we all met, and I was making $17 an hour. He was making like $55 an hour.
It's a little bit of a difference.
It's never been, hey, I need you. We have one bank account. Well, we have one bank account with both of our names on it. I still have my bank account that I opened when I was 18. And he knows about it. It's not a secret account by no means. But it's just, it's connected to my income tax and all that. That's why I never got rid of it.
Okay.
He has bank accounts in the U.S. that I know about, and he has a bank account in Sault Ste. Marie at Great Northern.
Hmm.
Whatever you call it. So we don't have hidden money from each other. He never said to me, "Hey, I need you to work an overtime shift because you have to make sure I have $600 extra dollars in the bank account for this." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's great that you're working. It gives us a little extra money. We can start RSPs for the kids, or RESPs for the kids. Savings for a family vacation. As I worked my way up through the semi ranks of VP, and I became a half-ass PC. when I was in the role of being a production coordinator, my pay bumped considerably.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody was on vacation for the week, I had no standing check that week. And it wasn't where he said to me, "Oh, good, you're PCing, so you're going to have $800 put in the bank account, and I'm going to take $600 of it."
Mm-hmm.
It was never that. We were equal. It was the money went in, the bills got paid. Hey, there's a little extra, so I'm going to take $50 and put it into our vacation account, and then I'm gonna take $100 and put it on the RSP, so that when it's time for me to retire, we have a nice little nest egg. One of the things that he encouraged me to do was right off the hop have extra money taken off my check for income tax, so that I always got a refund. I never had to pay into the pension plan when they offered it. And as soon as I got full time, I opted into their RSP. I worked there for 13 years, 12 of them full time. When him and I made the decision that my mental health and my overall well-being meant more than that fucking job,
mm-hmm.
and I left, my RSP and my pension were transferred to a separate account off of VP's account. And in 12 years, I have $92,000.
Damn.
Sitting in those two accounts. And it's not like he's saying to me, "Well, I'm taking that money and I'm paying off the mortgage, or I'm going and buying a sports car." You know, it's there. So when I turn 65, should I make it that far? That money's going to come back to me, and we're going to have that nice little pile to add to our nest egg.
Mm-hmm.
So it blows me away, because I heard so many people at VP that were in relationships or married that said they had separate bank accounts from their husbands and their money was their money.
Yes.
And the number of women that said, "I had to borrow $20 from my husband fucking floored me.
Yes.
Floored yes. me. The fuck you mean you borrowed $20 from your husband? No. Honey, I don't have any cash on me. If you got a $20 bill, thanks, pal. Catch you later. Mm-hmm. Not I'll pay you back on payday. It's money. You live in the same house. You have the same bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's like dividing your refrigerator and telling everybody that lives in the house, that's your section. You fill it with the groceries you like. Don't touch my food.
Mm-hmm.
Blows me away. How about you, Joya? When you were married, what was your sitch?
So when I was married, we had a joint account. And so all our money went into it. And we just like paid out of it. But my husband was very immature and not good with money.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to constantly watch our account, and I had to honestly, like, anything he bought or spent had to go through me. And I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to be the warden. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have to be in charge and say, no, like, you can't have $20 or you can't have this. But if I didn't, he would just not pay bills and just spend money. It would be like, oh, we've got this amount of money and I want this and I'm going to go buy it. Forget the fact that we have, like, you know, a mortgage coming up, or we need gas in our cars, or we need this. Like, he was very, very irresponsible. And honestly, the one thing, and I know this sounds awful and goes probably against everything, Dana, you stand for,
is I can't wait.
After going through what I went through, I absolutely recommend that every woman have a secret bank account that has money in it in case anything happens and you are stuck on your own. Because I did not. He walked out on me. He stopped paying alimony.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a job at the time. And I was stuck not being able to support myself.
Now, that is something I will, like, that's something that I'll echo and agree with Joyelle on, because that's how my mom raised me. Like, for her and my father, they had a shared account. They paid everything from it. She was in charge of the money because my father's, like your husband or your ex-husband, yeah, was horribly immature, would go out and buy all the things. And she's like, no, you cannot buy all the things. We have to afford groceries and gas, yeah, and bills and the mortgage. But she was also the one, I'm trying to remember, I think it was Grandma Honey who actually told her, like, make sure you have a separate account. You can keep it a secret if you want, or you can be open about it and tell your other half that you have it. And it's one of those things that I encourage all people, women especially, because a lot of the times they don't have it and men will just wander away with the money. But I basically encourage anyone who's in any relationship, have a shared account, but then have a separate account too, that, you know what, take out $100 every week and put it towards it. You can use it for your own vacations if you want. You can use it for in case something goes wrong in the future. You can use it towards your pension when you get older, so that you have extra money where you're like, okay, here we go, still use it. It gives you the freedoms later on. But like I said, I know my mom and dad still shared an account. They still had everything, but she still had a secondary account where she's like, all right, whatever, she put like $50 a week into it. So that way, if there was anything that surprised her, she was covered.
You never want, like, I didn't go into my marriage thinking it was not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he wasn't he wasn't an asshole and he acted mature and stuff at the beginning. And that. So, I mean, somebody can, like, you can have the perfect marriage, or you think you have the perfect marriage. You just never know what is going to happen in the future.
And it's always better safe than sorry. Doesn't hurt to have it.
Especially, like, when he stopped paying my alimony. Like, mm-hmm. I was screwed. Now I'm still, like, 7 years later trying to dig out of that debt that I had to go into to survive. Because I didn't have any money hidden away or put aside. And, I mean, we weren't super rich. And, like, we just kept our, each kept our RSPs and stuff like that. But, I mean, we didn't really have anything to split because we sold the house and it wasn't, we didn't get that much more than what we owed on it because we had just redone our mortgage and so, and I mean, but I don't know what, I honestly, I don't know, like, if I I'd never get married again, but I don't really know how I feel on the whole going through what I went through, if I would have a shared account again.
Well, it's like they say, once bitten, twice shy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, honestly, if IT had done to me what your ex did to you, if I ventured into a second marriage, oh, fuck yeah, I'd have that secret bank account. Oh, everything God, yeah. I just said earlier would have flown out the window and made its way to Tibet. But for me, and again, you guys have said it, I literally have the perfect husband.
Yeah, you caught him, like, and you tied him down. You're like, yeah, mine, and I'm keeping
I feel like I've won the fucking lottery. I don't play the lottery because I already won it with him.
Aww.
I feel my sister, too. She won the lottery with her husband.
Yeah, and I mean, so I still stand by what I said, but I totally understand what you ladies are saying. Like, even if you do have the perfect IT to have that secret, to have that
secret added bank account, yeah.
Secret bank account. I get that. It's just not something I felt I needed when we got engaged. Not even when we got married, but like when we got engaged. I never felt like I needed to start squirreling money away in case shit fell down. I was already on my own at that point.
I feel too, like, I don't know a lot about, like, the relationship of your parents, but the fact that they, like, were still together and stuff, I feel like you were brought up in, like a loving home, like your parents, like, not divorced.
No, my parents weren't divorced.
But I mean, not like alcoholics or like, you know, like grew up like me and like I did and like Taylor did.
Yeah.
And so I think that like jades you a bit. That,
oh, for sure.
That, like, I seen the divorce of my parents, and I seen, like, I remember my dad, he built our house, like, himself. And we had a, like, it wasn't, like, this mansion or anything, but we had a beautiful piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and it irks me to this day because that should have been my inheritance, right? And it was a beautiful piece of property out in the county. And my mom,
was... Fuck your sister. It should have been old Joy.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
My inheritance.
But my mom, like, the one thing that she said to my dad, which really just pissed me off, was, you will never get this house.
Oh.
It was like the one thing. My dad built it himself with his dad and his brothers. And my mom was like, you will never get this house. And he didn't. Oh. And I feel like not only did you screw him, but you screwed your own children out of their home and their inheritance. And my mom was like, to me, I feel like my mom, not only did she never work, but she wasn't deserving, I don't think, of anything. Because all she did was drink and do drugs and lay around stoned and fall all over the place. And she didn't contribute anything. But she took my dad to the cleaners.
Oh, yeah. And I have to...
You're right. My parents were married for 51 years.
Damn.
It would have been 51 years. My dad died in the August. It would have been 51 years in September. Because we did have a 50th anniversary for them in the backyard. So, yeah. They hit 50. I know that. So we had the party, but yeah, I mean, my parents fought.
No, I
watched them fight. But my dad, so my mom was a fiery Scottish lady, and I mean, anybody that has Scottish blood in them knows there's some Scots out there that have a few shorter than an inchworm. My papa had a short fuse. But then again, my grandmother, my meemaw probably drove him like batshit crazy. My mom didn't fly off the handle all the time, but when she did, it was a good handle to fly off of. My dad? Meh. I have my dad's composure. Which basically means it takes an awful lot for me to lose my shit on somebody. And if I lose my shit on you, then you know that you stepped in probably a dinosaur-sized pile of shit with me.
I'm just thinking of Jurassic Park and the T-Rex, the Tyrannosaurus.
Dr. Malcolm says that's one big pile of shit.
Yep, that's the one. She just shoves her hand in it.
Yeah, so you ladies know, if you ever see me in that state, know that you've literally pushed all the DEFCON buttons and I'm at DEFCON 10. So when my mom and dad would argue, it was my mom yelling at my dad. To the point where my dad would be like, whatever you said, Linda, and he'd walk away. Because he just didn't want to listen to it anymore. And maybe that's what made their marriage work. Or he shut his hearing aids off so he didn't hear at all later on in life. God bless you, Father. I know you're sitting on a throne up there. But yeah, you're right. Neither of the two of them were alcoholics. They didn't have drug problems. I think I saw my dad drunk once in my life. Once in my life, I saw my dad drunk. He had the occasional beer, but it wasn't where it was every weekend. He was, you know, cracking them open and pounding them back. At Christmas, it was Hungarian pear liquor with Verner's. And one day when you ladies come over, we'll let you try that.
I'm in.
Well, I feel that, again, I was placed in this role of being, like, the shrew about money and having to dole out, like, an allowance to a, like, grown man and stuff. And, you know, like... wasn't just one thing, but that was one of the things that really, after years of doing that, just really tugs at you mentally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You just get tired of it, and it's like you feel like you're just like I had a child, like
yes,
and stuff, and then you're putting the nag in that nagging wife role.
Joyelle, so you said your mom never worked.
No.
Did your dad control the money, or did she?
Oh, good God. My dad controlled it because she couldn't do anything. She was drunk all the time.
So in order for her to buy her alcohol, was he giving her an allowance?
No. She started going to her parents, and they would give her money, and she would go buy it. Then, if she couldn't get money from them, she would steal my dad's bank card, and she would go buy alcohol with his bank card. He, at one point near the end, would sleep with his bank card under his pillow. And she would still go under his pillow and steal it. And one time, it was after my sister left, and that my mom did that. And my dad was trying to get his card back from her. And I was so afraid that he was going to hit her. He never had in his life. Okay. But this was like getting near the end. And I was just so afraid that that something like that was going to happen. So I had to step in between. I hit her. And I thought it was better for me to hit her than it would be for my dad.
Right.
Because he would end up in jail.
Yeah, because for him, it's domestic abuse.
Right.
For you, it's just a fight with your mom.
Right. I was not expecting, again, another plot twist this morning I wasn't prepared for.
No, you know, there was another time my mom was really drunk, and she was going to call the cops. She wanted something. My dad wouldn't give it to her. So she said she was going to call the cops and tell them that my dad hit her. So we were, like, trying to keep the phone away from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she took the phone and she hit me in the head with it. I ripped the phone off the wall. When I went to the door and I threw the phone freaking outside. A couple days later, God. My dad comes in with the phone. Here's your phone back.
The dark side of Peanut that we didn't know existed. She's a dark roasted.
So I don't know why I have mental issues. Or trust issues,
I don't know.
So I didn't really, like, when I got married, I obviously didn't have any, like,
healthy depictions.
Not blueprints. I had no idea what a real marriage was supposed to be. Was this normal? Was this happening normal? Is this how it's supposed to be? And so that played a lot with my mental health too, because then especially when he was like playing his mental games, I really then started to think, is it me? Like, is this a warped perception? Is this normal? And I'm not. But I mean, like, just as far as like the money and that, like, I would make him a lunch, and instead of eating his lunch, he'd go spend money and buy a lunch. And it's like, I made you a lunch. Like, we just spent all this money on groceries, and it's rotting in your work truck, and that. Or then I found out too, he would like, I don't know what he would do. Like, if he would act like I didn't make him a lunch or he didn't get fed, and he'd get other people to buy him lunch.
Scammer.
And wow. And then his work truck would be filled with rotting food from all these lunches that he didn't eat.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So I really had to watch our money. Like, every single, like, down to the penny had to watch it, because we had shit that had to be paid. And when I met him, should have been red flag right then. When I met him, he owned a house. And after I had been dating him for a few months, I found out that he was in the rears on his mortgage.
Oh, Jesus.
So he clearly, like, just bought, and he would eat out all the time. And by, at that time, he was, like, big into smoking weed and stuff when I first met him. So he'd be spending money on that and everything and just not pay his bills.
Did he gamble?
No.
Was he a gambler?
That was the one thing he didn't do, was gamble. That could have made him money.
Yeah, true.
So,
wow.
For me, I've never walked down the aisle. I'm glad that I didn't with the last one, because it came close and it would have been bad. So my ex was, so to preface it, I actually was with her and her fiance. So we were actually a throuple at one point in time.
Ooh.
And I guess I'm throuple, three of us, 1, 2, 3. So it was her, him, and me.
Oh, so,
peanuts burning so much. Say peanuts burning so much.
That off camera.
Peanuts burning so much right now. She's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So at the time, it was like, okay, we're all hunky dory, all that fun stuff. And the issue was that he's horrible for money stuff. And she would never talk to him about, like, hey, I need you to put in more money towards the accounts. Like, I don't make enough to cover all of this. So it ended up becoming a problem. Like, I couldn't take anymore. I'm like, no, that's not how partnerships are. Like, you can't say that you're there for each other and then not actually be there for each other. So in the end, she ended up breaking it off with him, because I was like, okay, you know what? I'll give it another few months. We'll try to make sure that he's basically, like, train him up to be a good partner, and then I'll step out and I'll be fine. Should have fucking ran then when I had the chance, but no. Instead, she surprised me, and, like, the next day she was like, okay, I'm breaking up with him. I choose you. And then proceeded to put me into the fucking position of having to nag her about all of it, where she was also going, so she's working full time and going to school full time. So I would stay up with her at nights, help her get through her homework, keep her company, all that kind of stuff, be supportive in all ways.
Right.
And she was not good with any of that. She has, like, a horseshoe up her ass, where if there's an opportunity for money to magically come to her, it does. And then she squanders it on everything. Instead of taking the money.
Needs that horseshoe.
No shit. We all need that horseshoe. But if there was a grant, she got it. If there was magically new grants would appear, and she would get it. She didn't even know they existed. And the school would be like, hey, you know what? You're doing so great. Here's this grant. You're getting this money. And it'd be like $2,000. Now, when I heard she was getting the money, I'm like, okay, so you're going to, like, pay off your Visa and then you're going to keep the rest in your savings. She's like, yeah, I'm going to do that. But, you know, I'm going to go buy myself something because I think I deserve something. I'm like, yeah, but you're behind on all of your payments, your car payment, your mortgage, your water bill, your electric. Literally, they've sent you messages saying, bitch, if you don't give us the money, we're shutting you down. So, you know, maybe you should just put your money towards all that and then save some of the extra in case of an emergency. She never does. And then without fail, every time something new breaks, and then she has to go and cry and complain the fact that she doesn't have money to pay for any of it. Like, but you did. You spent it.
Right.
And then later on in the relationship, I learned her, like, ebb and flow of everything, and I knew how stressed out she would get with school. So she was getting near the end of her semester, and she had, like, a fairly major project due that she's a type B personality, same as me, where we put it off till the last minute to finish it. We get it done, but we stress ourselves out. And I had told her earlier on in the week, I'm like, hey, you know what? When you're done school, you should probably, like, just knock out a couple of them. You know, it'll take you a few hours, do a couple of them. It'll help you feel a little bit better and more secure. Well, it got to like the Sunday before, it was due on like the Tuesday evening. And she messages me, and now I know that she was cheating. Then I didn't. But she was like, I'm going to go over to my friend's place and go meet his puppies. I was like, don't you think it'd be a better idea to go home and like do your homework? Well, I'm feeling really stressed out, so I just want to go play with puppies. Yeah, but you're going to be crying on Tuesday when you haven't done this. So I went back and forth about it. I was like, fine, go. You're going to be upset about it. And then she made me feel bad about it because she was like, you know, you should just be supportive. I'm like, I'm trying to be supportive, encouraging you to do the thing that will help you progress in your life and make you happier and not stress you out. So this is where the narcissist part came in, where I didn't realize it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she forced me into that niche where it was constantly like, hey, you shouldn't, like, don't spend the extra money. You're going to need it for something else. Your car's fucking shit. You're going to have to repair something on it again. Hey, you should probably work on your homework instead of watching TV or playing on your phone or ignoring it, anything like that. And for me, it was detrimental to the mental health because it was, she put me in a position I don't like being in anyways, because I don't like being that person. It's like, hey, you should probably go do this. You're a grown-ass woman. You should know better than to go do those other things. You should be mature enough to go do these. And then it was the being put into that position, so then there was resentment building from both of us. Or it's like, so why would you put your partner into that position? Why be so immature that you can't do it? And then come to that person and bitch and complain that, hey, I can't believe that I'm short money on stuff. Well, go fucking figure. You went and spent it on a brand new anime set instead of putting the money into getting your brakes changed. Well, gee, I wonder why your brakes gave out again. So it's a constant struggle. And that is probably one of the biggest areas that I struggle with, because my mom growing up was always so meticulous with her money. Like, she had all the envelopes for here's the mortgage, here's the groceries, yeah. All that.
Yeah, my dad too.
Taylor, do you think your ex wanted, or maybe wanted you to be more of a mother figure to her?
Oh, 1,000,000%. Now looking back at it, it's like, because she admitted early on in the relationship, she was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't be in charge of the money. Like, you can be in charge of it because I'm not good at allocating all of it. So, you know, I tried to, like, share, like, okay, well, here, like, we can write out a budget for you each month. Don't go spending $20 a day or $40 a day on Starbucks. Make it at home. You can buy the ingredients, like, simple stuff like that. But then I became the enemy because I told her no Starbucks. That was literally one of the things that she yelled at me at the end, when she was like, you're a horrible person. You tried to tell me not to fucking get Starbucks and not to get this. Well, I want to spoil myself. Like, you do constantly. Every fucking day you spoil yourself. That's the problem.
I know, you know, me and my, like, so, well, at one point me and my husband both smoked. And then, like,
what?
But then I got...
This is a learning episode.
But then I got, like, I, like, was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Mm. And that, and so I quit because when I smoked, I would get headaches, right? Because smoking is not good for blood pressure. And so anyways, I quit and he continued smoking, which was fine. And then when we bought our house, I was like, we said no smoking inside the house. And that, because I didn't want the smell in the house and that. So that was fine. So then he decided that he wanted to quit smoking. Okay, I don't care what you do, right? So he quit smoking. And then that somehow turned into, he started smoking again, but felt the need to hide it from me. So he's doing it behind my back. And then when he left, parties like, well, you, part of the reason was you nagged me all the time and you said that if I started smoking again, you'd leave me. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, I never said that. And it's like, who cares if you smoke? I'm like, I don't care if you smoke. Just why are you lying about it? Like, mm-hmm. And then it leads to, if you're lying about something as stupid as smoking,
What else are you lying about?
Which was everything.
Weirdly enough, that's actually something that I got blamed for. I know I sent you guys the screenshots way back when, but the ex had blamed me for that too, where she's like, yeah, because of you stressing me out so much, I'm now smoking every day. It's like, no one put that, forced you to take that cigarette. Like, okay, now looking back at it, it's like, oh no, you started smoking again because the new guy that you started fucking smokes. And so does his wife, who's now his ex-wife. It's like, oh, okay, now it's making more sense. Like,
Jesus,
yeah, you start
Christ.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So it's like, yeah, no, you can't blame someone else for the bad decisions like that, but the narcissists like to do that because it's never their fault. It's everyone else's. And it becomes a reason for, oh, okay, well, yeah, clearly this is because of you. Like, you know I hate smoking. I told you don't smoke once. You said you don't. You haven't smoked in like a decade and a half. Now, magically, because the friend in your life smokes, you go out and I bummed a smoke off of him. Why? Like, that was your dumbass choice, not mine.
Jeez. I feel like a fucking saint. No, I'm serious. I do.
A very humble saint.
Being married is hard, one, and two, I think it really plays with, like, every aspect of it, I think, plays with your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And then especially if, like, you have to deal with somebody that is so immature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not, like, I never been the nagging shrew, but yet in every aspect of my life when I was married, I felt like I was put in that role. Like, simple things, like, I would cook dinner. And so I'd have dinner ready, waiting for my husband to come home from work. And it's like, no husband. And you're waiting, and I'm waiting. And at what point now do you have to pick up the phone and find out where he is?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now you become, not only first off are you, because I wasn't thinking anything like he's cheating or he's this or that. I'm thinking something happened.
Yep.
Maybe he was in an accident. You know, maybe, like, yeah. So then you call him and it's like, oh, yeah, I stopped out at so-and-so's house. And I'm like, dinner's ready. I'm waiting for you to eat. Like, you couldn't have called and told me this? And then, right, I become the nag that has to constantly, because it doesn't happen just once, right? It happens again and again and again. And I have to call again and again and again. And I become the shrew.
Mm-hmm.
And that plays, like, that really, after a while, degraded my mental health again, because I'm thinking,
are you crazy?
Yeah, or am I acting like totally insane? Am I being like a clingy wife? Am I in the wrong for thinking that just out of sheer respect? Like, I don't care if you go to your friends. You don't have to ask me for permission. But if you know that dinner is at this time and I'm sitting here waiting for you to have dinner, like, just sheer respect would be to call me
Now, I have a... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was actually going to ask you a question, because obviously for Joyelle and I, we've each had narcissistic cheating exes, and we both envy your husband IT there, because he's fucking fantastic, and you're what I strive to have at some point in time.
Who, me? But,
yes. Yes, you.
Well, see, that's what my comment was going to be about.
So, how do you think your mental health, because obviously you've been diagnosed with clinical depression, how do you think your mental health would hold up, like, if you're in situations like what Peanut and I had? Because I know for me, obviously, it caused a mental breakdown. So I know it didn't go good for me.
Yeah, my husband was he was not supportive of my depression. Like, I was in therapy, and he, like, basically never gave any concern as to what I was going through. Or even tried to learn about, like, maybe read up on depression and its symptoms and how to help somebody or how to address somebody. Like, he didn't care. Like, he had no desire whatsoever to understand what I was going through.
And that's the part of his narcissistic personality. Mm-hmm. You know, he obviously didn't think of others. He all for one and one for me.
All for one and one for me.
So what I was gonna say, Taylor, before you asked your question was, listening to you two ladies, I feel like IT should be in my seat, and I should be out there cleaning the kitchen, because...
all I'm thinking is he's going to get all the sex.
I am absolutely the child of her marriage. I mean, he's the one that... He's got, like, I mean, I have a good head on my shoulders. I can make appropriate decisions. Don't misunderstand me. But when it comes down to it, I'm the goofy one. Like,
this is true, yes.
I play games. I'm the gamer. Like, I'm sorry your dinner's not made. Anne and I are playing zombies, you know?
This is what I love about you.
But the thing is, he doesn't get mad at me for that. Mm-mm. You know, like, when we're done, like, I was chatting with Anne via text message before we started our podcast. Mm. And, you know, she said to me, "You feel like shooting some zombies tomorrow?" I'm like, hell yeah. So at some point today, I'm going to say to Norm, Ann and I are going to play Xbox tomorrow. So, you know, whatever you do, just know I'm going to be shooting zombies. And it's not going to be a, like, nine hour thing, because she doesn't have the stamina for that. Mm-hmm. After her surgery, it'll just be a couple hours, but it'll still be a couple hours where I have my headphones on and I've blocked out my family, and I'm talking to her lost mm-hmm. in our game. He doesn't say stop being a child, like don't, you know, grow up. But I still, like, I love Funko Pops. I collect Funko Pops. I say to him, "Ooh, there's a new Stephen King Funko Pop out. It's like $19. Order it if you want it." You know, it's not
you're not made to feel guilty about it.
Exactly. He doesn't make me feel guilty when I say things like, so let's go back to March for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And him, Randy, and I had gone over to the U.S. We'd gone to Royal Oak, Michigan, and hit up a brewery there. Had some beer, had some lunch. Just generally a nice afternoon. On the way home, we cross over back into Canada, and I get a text message from Anne, who says to me, "Hey, I'm at Costco, and they have the Xbox One
Series
on sale." And I'm like, "Oh, that's nice." Like, her and I were still playing on
Xbox One,
the first Xbox One. And we had said if she had opted to buy it, then I would buy it. If I opted to buy it, then she would buy it. But we wouldn't buy it just because. So when she said they were on sale, she sent me a picture, and Norm was driving, and I was in the passenger seat, and I'm like telling him, I'm like, "Oh, blah, blah, blah." And Randy's in the back seat, and he's like, "That's a really good price," because Randy has the Xbox, I think he has the Xbox
Series X.
Yep. Norm looked at me, he goes, "Do you want it?" And here's me again. I'm a cheap bitch. I will not lie to you. I am cheap. If I can get it at a bargain price,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get it. My friends loved me in Mexico because I haggled. I haggled them down. Like, they practically gave me shit for free. He says to me, "You never told me what you wanted for your birthday. If you want it, I'll buy it for you for your birthday." Whose husband does that?
That's fucking fantastic. Whose husband goes
to them and says, "Oh, you want that $300 Xbox? Well, let's go to Costco and get it." And I'm like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "That's a big gift." He's like, "If that's what you want." He goes, "Let's go get it. Tell Anne we'll meet her at Costco." So I'm like, "Okay, Anne, we're on our way." She's like, "Sweet, I'll grab one." And Norm goes into Costco. He sees Anne eating a hot dog or whatever she was doing. They talk about the Xboxes. And he comes out and he puts it in the trunk of the car. And he's like, "Happy birthday." So it's like, he knows the goofy gamer side of me. It's mm-hmm. like giddy and all like, "Woo-hoo," in the seat, in the car. But I'm like, "Thank you very much, dear. I appreciate that."
Meanwhile, the child of time, yippee, 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 yippee.
So he lets my inner child be that inner child on
mm-hmm.
any, like, I'll tell him dad jokes. I'll tell him the stupidest dad jokes ever. And he just sits in the chair and you see him, or like you practically hear him roll his eyes, and I'm over on the couch like, you know, and he's like, "You're an idiot." I wish everybody had the relationship that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I honestly do. I wish that you guys find somebody like IT, whether they be male or female. But I hope you guys find somebody like IT to spend the rest of your lives with.
Yes, because it's either going to be that, or he needs to be okay and adopt us and be. you can adopt us, or we'll become part of his harem. We won't put out, but I will help clean the house or something.
Everybody moves into the house. Got a little commune in the backyard.
Hi, IT.
Shipping crates.
See, and I like started out before I met my husband. I was the fun. I had fun. And I didn't worry about things. And I wasn't a shrew. I wasn't a nag. I was easygoing, laid back, and stuff. And then he, like, just took that away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because in all aspects. I mean, even it was like, I grew up, well, again, because my mom probably, she didn't do anything. My dad did everything. But as far as, like, if the grass needed to be cut, like, nobody had to tell my dad to go cut the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Or even like, as I got older and stuff, it would be like, if I saw the grass needed to be cut, you just went out and cut the grass. Right? Like, if something needed to be cleaned, you just cleaned it. Yeah. And it was like, with my husband, it was like, can you, like, cut the grass? Like, if I didn't ask him to cut the grass, it would just get longer and longer and longer, unless I did it myself. But for the majority of our marriage, I worked. So we're both working, and yet I was the one cleaning the house, and I'm the one cooking, and I'm the one grocery shopping, and I'm the one apparently doing the yard work. Unless I specifically said, can you cut the grass? Can you do this? Can you do that? So everything fell on my shoulders, and I became this nagging shrew.
Mm-hmm.
I became everything I didn't want to be.
And I think that's the thing that I hope that people, when they listen to this today, they realize that a lot of things take a toll on our mental health when it comes to relationships of any kind, whether it's marriage or not.
Okay, hold on a second. By the way, I never answered your question. IT supports me.
I completely forgot about that. I was like, oh, right.
he has picked up on my highs and my lows. And so when he sees me gearing down towards the low, he knows and makes adjustments to help me ride the wave and come out of it. So he
which is 100, something that a lot don't do. So
110% supports me and would do anything to get me, if there was some kind of experimental medication on the market that he thought would help me, he would do anything to help me get that medication. So that's the answer to your question. As you were.
As you were, number one.
That's right.
Make it so. I now get those references. Ha ha. It's only taken 31 years, but I'm starting to get them. But yeah, like that is so hard to find in relationships, where you have someone, a spouse, that will actually help you, and it's not one-sided. Like, I know there, if Norm ever even had any sort of issue, like when he has had issues or struggles, like with the passing of his mom, you did not hesitate to be there. You stayed up with him. You were there for him. You helped him clean the house. You did everything because you love him. And you knew that at that point in time, it wasn't going to be a 50-50 split of everything. It's you had to do more because he just didn't have it in him. And you love him, and you don't want him to feel less than.
Exactly.
And that, to me, like, that's why I look at the two of you and I'm like, that is what a relationship's supposed to be, is two happy people together riding the waves together. Sometimes one's higher than the other, and they're just always there for each other. There's no nagging. There's no, oh my God, you're such a child, stop buying all this crap. There's none of that. Like, he doesn't even hesitate to help us with this thing that we're doing right now, the podcast. Like, he has helped us because none of us knew how to do this.
The flame.
The thingy. He helps us with the thingy.
So that, to me, is so helpful for your mental health, because you don't have someone who's just like, hey, suck it up, buttercup, let's move along. You'll be fine, just fake it and just move along.
I believe that if I had been in a relationship like you or Toasty Peanut there, I believe Peanut and I would have shared the instance of attempted suicide. I don't believe that I would have been strong enough to combat the negativity that they threw at me. So, yeah, I wouldn't have survived. I probably wouldn't have survived.
And I think that's how it is for a lot of people, where they're just in relationships like that, and it takes a greater toll than what they may admit outwardly. And it's why you end up with so many suicides with that, where mm-hmm. they just don't talk about it because they're told to be quiet. They're shunned. They don't feel like they're standing in the right place. Like, if they don't have support systems, it's just game over, man. They look at the world of, what do I have to offer?
Or you get told, stop saying shit like that. You're just looking for sympathy now.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, when I, unfortunately, we took my bottle of pills, I never, like, we know my dad was not supportive. But I never thought of it at the time that I did it. But it occurred to me afterwards is that I was with this with my husband for like 13 years, and he didn't call to see how I was. He didn't come to the hospital or come to the house to see how I was or anything. And I'm thinking, even if we're getting divorced, like, how do you honestly just, like, I'm somebody you took vows with that you said you were gonna spend your life with no matter what, and you go from that to, like, you don't even care if I, like, am dead?
Yeah.
Shows how much they fake it.
So, don't take this the wrong way, Peanut. I don't mean it as a slight on you at all, because, you know, I love you to pieces. But it honestly sounds like he may have loved you in the beginning, mm-hmm. but it faded really fucking fast.
Yeah, you know what he said? Well, to that point is, one, he said a lot of nasty things to me after he left. And the one thing he said, too, was, I loved you for about half our marriage.
Wow.
So you spent almost 7 years with me, laying next to me, telling me you love me, buying a house with me, and all this, and apparently you didn't love me. And I think to myself, like, oh my God. And
you not kill him?
I don't know.
Because she wouldn't look good in stripes.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was kind of like Nor, like you said about your Xbox. I was kind of the same way with my husband, right? Because he liked video games and stuff. Right. And it was like when the Sony 4 came out and stuff, it was like, for his birthday, we'll get it for you. We'll do this. We had a big, went to the casino, celebrate his birthday. Like, I was the same thing. Like, whatever you wanted, we'll find a way to get it for you. And then my birthday would come along and nothing, not even a card, not a cake, like nothing. And then it would be like, oh, well, you know, we never did those things growing up, would be his, his excuse.
Okay.
And stuff. And, Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Jinx.
And yet, he's in a relationship. And he has, but obviously, since he left me, he's still with the chick he cheated on me with. They had a kid together.
Scum.
And yet, I think to myself, like, you're the, and I'm the single one?
Like I said, Peanut, your IT's out there. We'll help you find them.
We're going to go around lassoing in. Yeah. We'll start making, we can get you on the Facebook dating app part of it.
Oh, good God.
Just go on TikTok. They find you.
Oh, yeah. We really want those ones. You're a pretty lady. No, thank you. I'm married. Well, fuck you, bitch.
You need to get your brain examined. Why? Because I'm married.
How dare I?
Or because I don't want to talk to you? Fuck off, Al.
All right. So I think we'll call that a wrap for this week's episode. And Dana, you're up for one thing that you're grateful for that you love about yourself.
I am grateful for the breakfast we had yesterday.
Yes.
I actually got to see my peeps twice in 6 days, yo. and it was nice that Peanut didn't look like she had leprosy.
I was just thinking that.
Thank you.
Although I think today I'm looking more, a little more like a leopard.
So I'm thankful for the wonderful 2 hours we had at breakfast yesterday, the delicious food, the delightful conversation, and as always, the good laughs.
Yes. All right, Peanut, your turn. You dry roasted, sun roasted Peanut, you.
Honey roasted. Try roasted honey Peanut.
I'm grateful that it's cloudy today. No, I'm sorry.
I feel that.
I think I'm grateful for, I think, my resilience.
I think that's a good thing to be grateful for.
I don't know how, but I seem to still keep on going and getting back up whenever I get knocked down.
And immediately my head starts going into the song.
Chumbawamba. That was my father-in-law's favorite song. Every time I hear that on my satellite radio, I just smile and I'm like, hey, Walt, how you doing?
It's going to be stuck in my head all day now.
You're wrong.
Be sitting there. Okay, and for me, I'm actually grateful for my entire day yesterday because I got to have breakfast with you two ladies, which was awesome. And then I was actually out late as I
10:30.
Hey, that's late for me. I didn't get home until like 11:30, okay? But I actually went over to another friend's house afterwards. So I went out of the house twice yesterday for social events. Ooh. And we played card games and I fucking whipped ass because I was amazing and it was fantastic. And we played. Thank you. I don't know if you guys have heard of this game. I've seen it on the Facebook and the TikTok.
On where, the Facebook.
That's right. On the Facebook. I am
on the Facebook.
on the book of faces. And it's a card game called Doomlings. Oh my fucking God, was it good? I wasn't sure about it when I first saw it.
I may have to invest.
It is so good.
We're gonna have card night at my house and you guys are coming one weekend.
Fuck yes. Yes, I'm in. I'm all the way in. can't you feel?
She's already at your door.
She's like, woo! Ding dong, Avon calling. So that one definitely really worth it. Another one to get is Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza.
Okay.
That one, another great
one. Sounds like dinner.
Right? Well,
without the cat.
I was going to say,
Oh, that's maybe not. You're telling us about at lunch.
Yeah, you like slap your hand down. It's so good. So that one, and then we played Skip Bo, and the girl and I were basically like just trying to beat each other, and then the boys started playing, and they got really close. So then suddenly we made an alliance where it's like, okay, you know what? I don't care if I lose to you, but I refuse to lose to one of them.
This isn't Game of Thrones.
Yes, it is. It's exactly what it became. Her and I
the song of fire and ice in the background.
So yeah, so I'm very grateful for that. So it was a fantastic, very social day, and not something that I do all that often. So I'm trying to make sure that I'm putting forth more effort into my friendships to get out there and see them and catch up with them. So that's what I'm grateful for this week. All right, and as always, you can find us on our Facebook page under Depressed Breakfast Club. You can also email us at the same name, depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. The episodes are also posted on my own personal Instagram. Forgot what this thing was called for a second. Under Goddess Tay-Tay 25. And
not the Instagram?
No, because I couldn't even think of that. I couldn't even think of that. So I was just happy when I remembered Instagram. And then you can also find the episodes posted on Dana's Twitter and TikTok, both under Scooby71.
Oh, well, TikTok is just Scooby, Skoobi. TikTok, sure.
Twitter.
The other one, Twitter Instagram? Twitter is Skoobi71.
Oh, see, she's made me lie all of these weeks.
People have been finding us. It's been fine.
They're like, where's Scooby71? And next week's episode is going to be one that is about family ties, which will finally be episode 27. And I bet you any money Dana's going to say it's 26 or something like
damn
that.
Damn right I will. Okay, well, as always, our main page that our podcast is presented on is podomatic.com. Go ahead, head on over to podomatic.com, sign up. It's free. You don't have to post a podcast, but it will allow you to like our podcast and comment on our podcast, and you will see a list of all of our 26 episodes, 25 episodes. It'll be 26 later. Anyways, you'll see all of our episodes listed. You can comment on all of them. You can like them all. By doing so, you help us stay relevant in the mental health category. And you can see our standings. It fluctuates weekly. The more likes we get, the more listens, the more downloads, moves us up the ladder. We like to stay in the top five. We kind of fell a little bit last week, so here's hoping we make a jump this week and get back to where we were. We appreciate all of you for listening, and we thank all of you for listening. And again, to our Canadian listeners, happy Canada Day. Enjoy your extraordinarily long weekend. And to our American friends, happy Independence Day on July 4th. Enjoy your holiday. Enjoy your fireworks. And for our overseas friends, have a wonderful week. Ciao for now.
Ciao, Bellas.
Bye.